Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Having just sprung forward, I feel everyone's pain. We just lost an hour of sleep, and now we are pressed for time. Thank God, God is never pressed for time. The scriptures say he neither slumbers nor sleeps. I heard a good joke yesterday, though, about daylight savings time. Is it really savings time? I heard someone say it's kind of like taking a dollar from the front of your wallet and putting it in the back of your wallet and then saying, hey, I saved a dollar. Of course, we hear about saving today, but not time, not an hour, but the saving gift of God. God, who saves his creatures, he who never watches the clock, he always shows up on time. He doesn't veg out on the day in which he brings us his Lord's Supper, his gift. God is always available. He's never late. He shows up faithfully, and that's all the more reason for us to show up faithfully. I'm glad you all did. Today in the text, I want to talk about three observations about John 3:16. Three observations about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. First observation. John 3:16 can stand by itself, all by itself, just as it is, and it's a good summary of the whole Bible, isn't it? All by itself, it can stand just fine all on its own, but it doesn't answer all the questions of Scripture, and for that, it's helpful to look at the surrounding verses. They're just as much a treasure, just as much a good gift of God, that you should know both John 14 and 15 and John 17 in addition to John 3:16. For example, John 3:14 and 15. Just as Moses in the wilderness lifted up a serpent and put it on a pole, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. What does that do? Well, that answers the question how God gave his Son. In John 3:16, God gave his Son. It doesn't really tell us how. John 3:14 and 15 do. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, put it on a pole, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. Those words lifted up remind us of what? What is to come for Christ? The cross. He must be lifted up. That's how God gave his Son. It's not just a picture of Christmas that God gave his Son in the manger. It's a picture of the cross, which is coming up on Good Friday. God gave his Son there on the cross as our substitute, the one who stands in our place, dies for our sins, so that we can go free. Without John 3:14 and 15, you don't know how God gave his Son. And it also does another great thing. It ties what Jesus does on the cross to the Old Testament, doesn't it? It ties what Jesus is and who he is to the God who revealed himself in the days of old, and the people of Exodus, the people of Israel of old, even Moses out in the wilderness, Numbers 21 that we heard in the text today. There is a foreshadowing of Jesus. There, with the serpent up on the pole, God punished his people by sending fiery serpents. And then when they repented, when they said, we were sorry, we did wrong here, we were impatient, we didn't do as we ought, and they asked Moses, do something for us, pray to the Lord. And Moses prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and whoever looks at it will live. God provided the means of salvation for those people. If they listened, if they heard the word of God coming through Moses, and they believed it, and looked up at the pole, they lived. So also for us, we know that this Jesus is tied to that Old Testament. This Jesus is the one God foretold of old in Numbers 21 and all of the whole scriptures of old. That Jesus stands there, and that Jesus goes to the cross. That God dies for you. What a great gift that we learn about in John 3:16. It's tied to the Old Testament, isn't it? That God did that. Not just a new and different God. Like some people say the Old Testament's about an old, angry God of old who just punishes his people, and the New Testament God is a loving, forgiving God. It's the same God, the one who disciplines, the one who brings us down to Sheol, is the one who can raise us up by giving us a means of salvation. Hear the word of God. Believe the word of God. He wants to save you from yourselves. He wants to save you from sin and death. He's providing you the means. Look to the Son. He is lifted up for you. Repent and believe. The second part there, right after John 3:16, is also really important, isn't it? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That really gives us the whole purpose of Jesus. We just talked about Judas this morning in Bible class, a lot about Judas. Jesus, being knowing all things, he knew different things. He knew what was to come. He talked about his cross coming up. He foreshadowed lots of things. He knew, he foretold what was to come. He knew Judas would betray him. Did he then just kick Judas out of the 12 and say, "You don't belong here"? No. He welcomed him amongst the 12, even the one who was going to betray him, because Jesus had not come into the world to condemn the world. But if you don't believe in the Son, as the text says, if you don't come into the light of truth, the light of Jesus, it says you're condemned already. You have a judge, but it's not Jesus. It's yourselves. It's your unbelief that condemns you. But not Jesus. He doesn't condemn you. He came to save you. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus is the great picture of God's love. He is also the judgment of the whole world, because if you don't believe in him, you're judged. You're condemned. But through him, you'll be saved. Through him, he is the purpose, his personhood, all that he is. When we look at him, should be salvation. Remember in the movie Nacho Libre, Nacho was feeling sorry for, or he was not paying attention during a sermon, and he sees one of the apostles on the wall crying, and he got all guilty. And I think kind of funnily that, you know, when you look at Jesus, you shouldn't go, I've done the wrong thing. You know, he's a big judge looking over my back. Martin Luther used to think, too, that Jesus was like a great judge. That's how it was taught. Oh, you need to be obedient because, you know, God is looking over you, watching out. You look out. But when you look at Jesus, you should see the love of God, the forgiveness of God, not the condemnation of God. Now you see him fulfilling the condemnation upon Jesus so that you can find a loving God. You can find a peace-giving God, a forgiving God above all things. So John 3:17 complements well John 3:16. That's the first observation. Look at those surrounding verses because they are treasurable. They have great things to tell us about John 3:16. Second observation, John 3:16 reveals the importance of faith. Right? The importance of faith. The importance of believing, as it says in the text. Without faith, people would perish, it says. But with faith, you shall not perish. By believing, you will not perish. You'll have eternal life. Much of the world, I would suggest, subscribes to a lie that not faith, but only love matters. Love is all you need. Well, in our text today, it says people loved the darkness more than they did the light because their deeds were evil. And that's an explanation of original sin in us. And because of original sin, we can't truly love God and we can't truly love our neighbor. Sin has corrupted the whole enterprise. We can't truly love. Love isn't all you need because your love will fail. Your love is not perfect. You need to be forgiven by your neighbor, your wife, your spouse, your children, just as much as you need to forgive them. But all that love won't stop sin. Love is corrupt. So what is it that saves? Not love. Faith saves. And faith creates a new love, a greater love. A love that is willing to sacrifice and forgive, even when being hurt. That is a greater love. Now, what a love. In fact, that is a God kind of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to forgive you. That's quite the love. It's a different than I'll just do love and have so much love built up that I can, you know, one day say, good job, I did a lot of love, God. No, God is looking not for how much love you did. He's looking to how much faith you had in Jesus to forgive you to make all your works clean and righteous and perfect in God's sight, so he can welcome you into his holy temple, his holy presence, as a son, as just as he would Christ Jesus. Welcome him, he welcomes you, just as if you were Christ. Think about that. What a gift. So not love, but faith is truly what matters, and that John 3:16 reminds us that believing in him, you have eternal life. Our third observation today is this. John 3:16 puts our minds on the goal of life, doesn't it? The goal of life. Some people think the goal of life is to gain as much as you possibly can in the shortest amount of time possible here on earth. You need to gain, get more, be responsible for more, earn up, buy, have. That's the goal of life, is to gain. Or it's to experience. I need to experience all things, experience everything that I can before I die, because look, the clock is running out. The time is short. We just lost an hour this morning. We've got to get out there and do more things, experience more of life before the time is done. People think it's good to have glory now too. A glorious car, a glorious boat, a glorious title, a legacy, to be a celebrity or to meet one for at least 5 minutes, and then we can die in peace. What's missing is faith in the unseen things of God. This world is a great place, but don't forget it has its problems. It has injustice, inequalities, people who are betrayed, abandoned, widowed, orphaned, sickness, and death. We are constantly challenged to make the best of things that we cannot control. But the true goal in life is not just to endure this. The true goal in life is not simply to beat back the clock. It's to be part of the next life. Eternal life, as it's described in our text today. We put our mind on the goal. The goal is not this world. This world is temporal. God's world to come is eternal. This life is temporary. The life to come is everlasting. And John 3:16 reminds us to put our mind on the goal, the prize. Not this world. This world is not the end-all of end-alls. It is the life and the world to come that Christ Jesus accomplishes for us by coming into the world, God's great gift, and then rising from the dead and ascending into heaven to show our trajectory too. After you die and you rise, you will go be with him in paradise forever. John 3:16 reminds us of the true goal of life. So it is today. John 3:16 helps us in three different ways, doesn't it? It reminds us that there are other great verses that help explain John 3:16. 3:16 is a great verse, but you should know the surrounding verses to really appreciate the fullness of it. Secondly, the second observation, God gave us these words to remind us of the true faith that we have. Faith is important. Faith in the Son, not just love. And third, John 3:16 puts our mind on the goal, the true goal of life. Eternal life. May God grant you that through faith in the Son Jesus today and always in his holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.